going on, wrestling fans? Welcome back to another edition of the Pro Wrestling Powwow Podcast, the ever-growing Pro Wrestling Powwow Podcast, as we continue to grow our listenership all across the globe. Chris Schubert here with you, and on the phone lines, on location, on a new phone, sounds much better this week, is Jesse Bork. Jesse, what's going on?
Chris, what's up? I decamped to Westchester, New York, really, and Connecticut area.
So what are you doing up there?
You know, I'm relaxing. I'm drifting.
You're drifting.
You know,
okay.
Yeah, I'm drifting. I got a new phone line up here now. It sounds nice. Hopefully I sound a little bit better. I mean, I know I sound miserable. Got a little...
Yeah, you sound like you have a cold.
Yeah, a little sniffles. Got the sniffles.
Also, I'll be honest. It sounds like when I say something to you, there isn't much of a delay. It means like you can hear me when I interrupt you now.
Yeah, well, when you interrupt me, I just keep talking anyway.
Yeah, that's normally what happens.
Let you interrupt me.
Yeah.
All right, so we had a big show today, don't we?
Yes, we have NXT SmackDown, and we got to do our predictions for both Backlash and TakeOver. So we're actually going to go in chronological order of this weekend. So we're going to review NXT first and then do TakeOver predictions, and then we'll get into SmackDown and Backlash. Does that sound like a plan?
Yeah, that's how we should do it.
All right, show kicks off. Drew McIntyre against Sean Maluda. I guess this is just a way to get Drew McIntyre on the go-home show because he's not going to be wrestling at the pay-per-view, and they needed for him to do something. And he basically just squashes Sean Maluda. This is a decent match. I enjoyed myself. And then afterwards he talks about, he's not concerned with Wesley Blake, but if Blake wants attention, he can get into the ring next week. And then later on we learn that next week from the Chicago tapings, they are going to have Drew McIntyre against Wesley Blake's on next week's episode of NXT.
Yeah, McIntyre gets his eye really messed up.
Yes, he does.
It was just funny how I guess we were thinking going into the show, like there's still one more match on the card. You got a lot of people available. You have McIntyre. You have Eric Young. You have Roderick Strong. You have Almas. You have Cassius Ohno. And so McIntyre challenges Wesley Blake next week. And as soon as they announced that it was going to be a special from Chicago, I was like, oh, this is easy. What they're going to do is they're going to probably tape that, I would guess, before TakeOver. And that's going to be like the warm-up
match. It's a pre-show match, yeah.
Right. It's basically going to be a pre-show, but it's going to turn into NXT tapings for next week, which is going to be good. And I think it's going to work because that's a pretty decent match to have on like a pre-show. Aleister Black's also going to be in action. Later tonight, we see Roderick Strong getting, or we see from last week when Roderick Strong gets attacked by Eric Young. And that's going to lead to Roderick Strong versus Eric Young set up as the fifth and final match for TakeOver Chicago.
Yep.
How do you feel? We'll talk about that match when it comes around time on our predictions. This episode of NXT was pretty much just setting the stage. There wasn't really a lot here. I think our next match that we get to is Lacey Evans versus, now her name's Sonya Deville.
Yeah, Sonya Deville. So here's the one thing I do want to mention here. This show is very, like... I'll be honest. I think this show did a better job of selling me on TakeOver Chicago than SmackDown did on selling me on Backlash.
Well, that's interesting you said that, because this show is pretty much just centered around promotion and hype.
It did a better job than SmackDown did, but it was all over the place. Like there were just random video packages throughout the show. Like it was paced very oddly.
Yeah, I've gotten that vibe sometimes before from NXT too, where it'll be like, wow, it looks like they made the show, but then they just, like, threw this in. Like, ooh, we just got to throw this in for time or for whatever reason. They'll just throw something in the middle when they didn't actually tape it that way in the first place.
Yeah, and then we get this cool Sanity promo on... The recap that I'm reading says it was a parking lot. They were on the roof of a building.
I thought parking lot. Yeah, I'd buy parking lot.
I thought it was a roof of a building.
Those are negligible. You could pretty much sell me on either of those.
Yeah. So and this was a great little promo that apparently they just magically found someone that could shoot the camera with lights and everything, and it was really good. And now that was our build for Roderick Strong, Eric Young, which I think is gonna be a really good match. I don't know who's gonna win. I don't know who I'm taking.
I have no idea who I'm taking in that one. I didn't even think about who I'm taking until you just mentioned it.
Yeah, so we get a highlight package for Hideo Itami, basically taking us through his career. Starts in September 2014 when he gets introduced to NXT and to Full Sail. We get a package about the UK tournament and basically leading us up into the match that we're going to see on Saturday between the champion Tyler Bate and the number one contender Pete Dunne. And then we get another promo for the Velveteen Dream.
Yeah, I'm not excited for that either.
No, not even a little bit. Then we get another highlight package for Hideo Itami when he defeated Tyler Breeze and used the GTS in a house show in San Jose when they were there for WrestleMania 2 years ago. Asuka does her little, I guess, interview where she keeps saying next question, and then she gets out and acts all cool in front of the fans, and then when she walks away, she gets all pissed off again. Then we get Lacey Evans against Sonya Deville, and I'll be honest, Jesse, they're doing a really nice job of building up this women's division. Like, I don't know if I necessarily care about Sonya Deville right now, but I may in a couple of months.
Yeah, I think the fact that she got a name change from Daria Baronato, I think that indicates that they're giving her a shot, that she's going to be kind of moving forward. This is like the fourth time I've seen Lacey Evans on my television in the last 2 months.
Yes.
So that actually means something. So this is a fine little match. I think both girls got their spots in. And this is a nice little thing to do. Only about 3 minutes long, but a good win for Deville. And then kind of our last match of the night comes via Cassius Ohno versus Cien Almas.
This was really good.
I thought could have been on TakeOver Chicago.
Yeah, this was really, really good.
I felt like it went long, but what I'm looking at says it only went around 9 minutes.
It was a 9-minute match.
It felt longer than that to me.
Well, that means they did a good job. That means they did a good job, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't hear you say that. Yeah, Ohno did a good job. Almas has kind of become that guy that they don't really know what to do with him, I feel like. They're stuck in between. Can we push him? What can we do with Almas? And right now, he's in there with good matches. And Ohno is, you know, they wanted to come in and they wanted to push him back right away. He got the title match against Bobby Roode on television and didn't win. So now I think they're kind of stuck. These two guys seem like a good little rivalry for me, if for no other reason than they don't really have much else to go with, you know.
And then our final segment is, I totally forgot about this. They open up the show by showing that Bobby Roode has arrived at the building, and I totally forgot about this. So when Bobby Roode came out to close the show, I was like, oh, yeah, he showed up earlier. I totally forgot. And then he cuts a promo. What? Go ahead.
No, they definitely had to finish with Roode, Tommy. I think NXT does a good job of that. I mean, SmackDown did it this past week, but, you know, NXT seems to do things very structured. They're gonna hype you for the things they need to hype you, and they're gonna leave you. The last thing you're gonna see is gonna be the biggest story come Saturday.
Yep, and they do. Roode cuts a promo and says that Tommy will fail again and have to tell his kids that Daddy failed again. Tommy snaps, comes out. Security tries to stop him, and NXT has the worst security on the planet. Hideo Itami runs right through them and then gets a couple shots in on Roode. The security staff tries to break it up, and then he hits a GTS on one of the security guys because, you know, he just snaps. He loses it on these security guards. Roode tries to make the save and sort of get the upper hand on Itami, but he's able to hit a GTS on him. And so Hideo Itami stands tall entering the pay-per-view.
Did you say make the save? Is Roode now making the save for poor security guards, poor helpless security guards?
Yes. Yes, Roode had to make the save for them. All right, predictions.
Yeah, we have five matches. It's probably going to open the show, so let's go this way. I think we can almost guess the order. Eric Young versus Roderick Strong, and I genuinely, you're going to have to go first because I'm going to have to think about who I want.
Okay, I think Roderick, they've been pushing Roderick Strong, right? They did all his video packages, and they had Sanity, you know, come in and beat him up after his loss to Hideo Itami, and they're doing a nice job of hyping him up, but Sanity needs another victory. Eric Young needs to be reestablished as this mean, bruising heel, right? Because the last time we saw him in a feud with Ty Dillinger, Dillinger got the upper hand in that cage match. So Eric Young and Sanity needs to reestablish themselves as this premier faction, and I think later on, you're going to see another member of Sanity lose, so we need to keep Sanity looking strong. Eric Young gets the victory over Roderick Strong.
You know, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go Roderick Strong. I think you're either going to see a quick victory. I know you're going to hate it. You're going to freak out, but you might see maybe a roll-up type victory, small package.
Oh, my gosh.
And Sanity will still reign supreme, but Roderick Strong will get the win that he kind of needs right now. I agree with you. I would pick Eric Young, but I think the creative is going to pick Roderick Strong.
Okay, so then we're going to probably have the UK title be next. Tyler Bate defending against Pete Dunne.
This could be the best match of the weekend.
Yes, it could.
I'll say that maybe because there's a lot of predictability around Roode, Itami, and Nakamura, Ziggler. I think we can all kind of guess the directions that those two matches are going to go in. And those are probably going to be your top two matches in terms of in-ring wrestling, which leaves maybe, I would say, Bate, Dunne is the third best. And I'm going to go with Tyler Bate to retain here. Although I could see Pete Dunne winning, I think the way they're going to go into the UK tournament, which has already been taped, so like this could be weird. But Yeah, I think you're going to see Bate retain the title going forward.
I agree. I also have Tyler Bate winning. I think they want him to be the champion as they start the UK weekly show, and then later on down the road we'll have a title change.
We total idiots, couldn't we? Because I don't know if they exist out there because I'm trying not to look, but aren't the tapings of all the UK specials done already?
Yes, it airs tomorrow.
And yeah. The episode airs tomorrow, but then I imagine the weeks after are also taped.
I don't know how far they taped. I don't know.
The question is, like, they didn't just tape one show. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Because then if they taped more than one show, then just look at who has the title and we can see who's going to win in Chicago. Right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, no, I agree. I wonder how they taped the show. Did they tape the show, like, did they tape the first episode knowing that they were going to have this title match on TakeOver and they hyped to? Because remember, Pete Dunne won this number one contendership opportunity through while they were overseas taping for the UK special.
I think that was just like a thing. I don't think that's going to be on this Friday show. I could be totally wrong. I haven't looked. I'm kind of excited just to watch it, but. Yeah, I don't get the vibe that's on the show. I think they would have hyped that.
Yeah. So, this is the match that I think is going to steal the weekend, DIY Authors of Pain in a ladder match.
And I think this is the end for DIY at NXT. I think this is where they wrap it up. They're going to go out with a bang. It's going to be a great ladder match. I think Authors of Pain are going to find a way to win. If DIY doesn't win, it's the end. So I think that kind of leads to me. I'm going with the AOP.
Give me this hurts, okay? Because I you know, Jesse Borick, I am the biggest Johnny Gargano fan there is.
Yeah.
I'm a Johnny wrestling guy. He's probably, I'll be honest, he's probably my favorite singles wrestler out there right now. So when he does his singles run, I will be the Johnny Gargano mark.
He's in the cruiserweight division so badly.
So there's a rumor going around.
Yeah, I've heard the same rumor.
That there's a singer doing the vocals for Johnny Gargano's theme music. And that has me thinking that Tommaso Ciampa, the son of a gun that he is, they're going to lose this match and he's going to turn on Johnny Gargano. And I am not ready for this because I'm a big, big DIY fan. I don't think I can handle it. This is going to be like when Kevin Owens ruined the Festival of Friendship.
Well,
so I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle this, but I'm going with Authors of Pain and I'm predicting a heel turn for Tommaso Ciampa.
The thing about DIY is that they're not, like, maybe you look at the Revival and you see, and this isn't a knock, right? I'm going to preface this. Like, you look at the Revival and I just see tag team. And that's nothing against Scott Dawson, Dash Wilder. That they couldn't be successful single superstars. I see those guys and I'm like, man, that's a tag team. I see, there's a lot of teams you see, you're like AOP, right? You don't look at AOP as individual guys. They're a team. DIY are two really good individual wrestlers that have been teamed together to get some success. So I think Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano now are going to be able to take the momentum they had as a part of DIY. They'll be able to parlay it into an awesome feud on 205 Live. I think they're going to be able to be injected in there, and they're going to be part of a, they're going to be able to kind of revive that show. Because I know you're going to watch 205 Live now if Gargano's there.
Maybe, yes.
I think those guys as singles wrestlers in the cruiserweight division definitely going to be something they're going to do moving forward. Although I agree with you, I would love to see DIY. I just don't see how, with two really strong in-ring wrestlers, they're going to stick together as a team.
Yeah, I certainly think that NXT kind of needs a heated feud, a heated rivalry like this that's not for the championship. So I certainly think when the next TakeOver – like, think about this. The next TakeOver is going to happen at SummerSlam.
You think they're going to hang around at NXT that long?
Yes, I think what they'll do is they'll do Ciampa Gargano at SummerSlam Brooklyn, which would be like the perfect full circle for them as a team.
Yeah.
And then the next night, like one of them or two of them will debut on like Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah.
And that's a great feud for TakeOver.
Yeah, I agree. I actually think that'll be a great undercard match.
I think it'll be really good.
For the Women's Championship, we're going to have Asuka defending against Nikki Cross and Ruby Riott. And this one seems fairly academic because if anybody was going to dethrone her, it seems like it would have been Ember Moon. Can't really see how anyone would pick anyone but Asuka here.
Yes, I am taking Asuka over Nikki Cross and Ruby Riott. I think they're just calling an audible until Ember Moon is ready to go.
Yeah, and I think that they could have. I think there's a possibility that Ember Moon could have won and then defended against Asuka at TakeOver Brooklyn 3. I wouldn't have ruled that out. I probably actually, if she would have been healthy, like if, I would have picked Ember Moon. But I think Asuka's going to hold on to the belt, and we're going to get Asuka Ember Moon again.
And then the main event is going to be Bobby Roode against Hideo Itami for the NXT Championship. I am taking the glorious Bobby Roode.
Yeah, it's going to be glorious. I can't see Roode losing to Itami already. I have no idea what they have in the store next for Itami. I think it's just nice that he's gotten a title push. I think it's Bobby Roode.
I wonder, just go with me here. You're a big Aleister Black fan, so go with me here.
I'm an enormous Aleister Black fan.
What if Aleister Black screws Hideo Itami out of the championship?
You know, you correct me if I'm wrong. I don't remember an NXT main event at a takeover that has been like WWE booked like that. You know, that's very.
Right.
I think you could establish a Black Itami rivalry without doing that. I get it. It would be something like big and impactful, but
it allows you to then go back to Itami Roode with this wondering of what if Black didn't interfere, Itami could have beaten him, right? You could set it up where Itami hits the GTS and has Roode beaten, but Black interferes, right?
Unfortunately, I see what you're saying. I think if we're there on the main roster, I get that. That's more of a main roster move. I think that's more. We're going to have pay-per-views every month. These two guys are going to be seeing each other. Like, NXT is kind of like, you get in, and the goal is to get out, right? You know, that's the unfortunate reality of NXT, is your goal is to get out of NXT. So I like your idea. I think that could be where they go next. If Aleister Black even going to hang around to have a rivalry with anybody?
Yeah, I don't know. It could be one of those weird situations, because if they are as high on him as they say they are, you're not really going to want to put him in anything that's going to take up a long-term part of his future if you're going to expedite him to the main roster, right?
I mean, if you put him against Itami at TakeOver with, like, maybe Drew McIntyre getting a shot at Bobby Roode, I think, you know, Cassius Ohno maybe get a shot at Eric Young. I mean, you got a great card set up at TakeOver.
Yeah, you're sold for the SummerSlam takeover. I think is gonna be really, really good. I think this one's gonna be good, but I think they're looking at the horizon. Asuka Ember Moon, you can do Roode against somebody. You could do Ciampa Gargano if they do what I say they're gonna do. Black Itami. I mean, you could really do a lot of cool things for that takeover that could make it very special.
Right, and we don't want to look too far down the line. I'm really excited for the Saturday. I think the match, at least that's the match I'm saying is gonna steal the show, is gonna be Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne for the UK Championship. I think it's great for people that maybe didn't check out. Even if you're an NXT fan, you know, just because you watch NXT doesn't mean you watch the UK tournament. Mm-hmm. So I think for people that have not gotten eyes on either of these guys before, they're going to be blown away by what they're seeing.
All right, let's move over to SmackDown and get through that, and then Backlash. This SmackDown show, it didn't sell me on Backlash. It didn't do a good job.
It didn't. You're right. I agree. Overall, I felt like this was a... I did see that it had the lowest ratings in a while. I think of the year of 2017 so far. Granted, ratings are ratings, but still, it goes to say that it goes to speak for when you have the lowest ratings of the year, how not enthused the fan base is to be tuning into SmackDown. And I do think part of that, I mean, granted, this is a biased study because you're looking at a push for somebody like Jinder Mahal. And kind of the reasoning or the logic behind that is they're trying to hit an India market. And obviously the India market does not live in the United States to be turning on the television, right? So
right.
People too from India won't be affecting television ratings, right? So, but it's interesting that the ratings are that low because I think there's a couple reasons for that. They know they're not going to see Nakamura wrestle on TV. Again, this is a completely Nakamura-less show. And this rivalry is kind of on its last legs. I know it sounds weird for a one-month feud, but we're on our last legs here. Jinder Mahal has been doing the same thing and saying the same thing. So, this show just didn't do it for me.
Yeah, there was just something about it. I'm really disappointed because I think Kevin Owens, AJ Styles is a feud that doesn't need this anti-American gimmick that they're attaching to Kevin Owens.
Yeah, and AJ oddly just threw in there this week. Didn't like it.
Yeah, like, it just doesn't need it. Like, it's fine without it. Like, I don't like it on Jinder Mahal. Like, I don't like that gimmick. Like, it just doesn't do anything for me. And to use it for Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, when you don't need it. You can have Kevin Owens say, I'm the United States champion, and I'm the best damn wrestler on the planet, and he has a legitimate claim to saying that, and AJ come out and say, well, yeah, I'm the guy who made SmackDown the place to be, and now and I made it so good that they brought you here, and I'm going to take your title from you. That's a story. Like, you don't need this anti-American gimmick that's just so overused and just... In today, like, I guess maybe in today's world with some of the stuff that's been going on, not to get too political, but I guess it may work, but I just don't like it.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting because, I mean, when you and I were peek into it as kids, we had to date ourselves, but during our youth, the Muhammad Hassan storyline with Daivari and all that, and then Hulk Hogan and Mr. America, and like, all the things that they really used to push the boundaries on, I think now they're a little bit more measured. But yeah, I don't think that AJ's USA chance that he decided to start the other night were did anything for my for this rivalry. And the first match tonight is actually Jinder Mahal versus AJ Styles, and I know you're rolling over in your grave as you're alive, and you want to puke like I do, because Jinder Mahal just pinned AJ Styles.
I get it. I understand why you need to do it.
Oh, bad. And you know what? This one bothered me. I get it, but this one bothered me.
Oh, no, it bothers me too, but you have to do it. You have to make Jinder look strong.
2 weeks, this is going to be awful.
I know.
Like, in 2 weeks, he's not going to be a part of the title. The great thing about this Jinder Mahal push has been, okay, he's getting a push.
Yes.
What happens after the push? What happens after he loses the championship?
No, I'm telling you, he's winning the championship.
That's not happening.
He's winning the championship.
We seriously would have a big problem.
Rusev, Jinder Mahal, Money in the Bank main event. Let's go.
I'm at a loss for words.
Rusev would be the biggest baby face in WWE history if they booked that match.
I cannot imagine how over Rusev would be.
He would be so over. People would cheer for him to win the championship. If that's what they're trying to do, if they're trying to make Rusev a baby face, this is the best way to do it.
No, he's not winning, so I'm not really concerned. But the fact that he's still, like, it's almost, like, obvious he's not winning based on how, like, they're trying to sell it every week that he's a legitimate threat. Like, think about it. Jinder has been impenetrable. He pinned AJ Styles, and then he took out Randy Orton 2 weeks in a row, pinned Randy Orton, or was taking him out 3 times
now. Yeah, he pinned him in a tag match.
Right.
He beat Sami Zayn twice.
Yeah. And Byron Saxton will stop yelling about him on a microphone. And, like, Kevin Owens, like, predicted that he was going to beat Randy Orton. So, like, they're trying to make it so painful for you to believe that, like, he's going to beat him. Like, normally, before a show, you'll get, like, a little back and forth. A guy will win, a guy will lose. But with Mahal, they're shoving him down our throats to be like, look, he really might win. Like, please, buy the WWE Network, you know? And, I'm not buying it.
We get another edition of the Fashion Files.
This is incredible. This makes me so badly want them to win.
I know. I want them to be the tag champs.
And we'll talk about that later in our predictions. But, so we very quickly after Randy Orton, like, says whatever about Jinder. And then we get Breezango against the Colognes.
And they're
officially the Colognes again and not the Shining Stars, which is the stupidest thing ever.
Yes.
I don't know. Whatever. Just a normal tag team match. Fandango just gets really hot when he comes in. And he uses the Falcon Arrow. I liked it as his finisher. And Breezango gets the win. And we get the Usos again, the Uggos, coming out for the second straight week. And they continue to yell into microphones and stand on the ramp. And, how is your day one is H? Is your day one H?
I very much enjoyed them going through the WWE Superstars t-shirts. Baron Corbin, all of these t-shirts have wolves on them. Like, it was just so great, like, for them to just make fun of all of them. And then they got to, what is
Did Baron have a wolf? During the main event, I was trying to, like, I couldn't tell if it was a wolf. I didn't know what was on it.
Yeah, and then they got to the day one is H. And then and Fandango's like, day one is H.
That's hilarious.
And it was just so great.
Yeah, that was great. They've done a good job of building this rivalry, haven't they?
Yes, I need the Usos to cheat. I will continue to say this. The Usos need to cheat to retain the titles. And then Breezango, I need six more weeks of Fashion Files where they investigate how they lost. That's what I need.
Yeah, I actually love that.
And then they need to win the titles at, like, Money in the Bank. Like, that's what I want.
This rivalry, if they can just make... Like, do something different than the Uggos standing on the ramp and yelling into a microphone. Like, sign me up 6 more weeks. It's fine.
Yeah, but here's where we take a couple of our ideas and we put them together, Jesse. How about you, while you have Breezango launch this investigation, you have the Usos defend the champions against the championships against like the Ascension or something. Like, you have them do something else, so we forget about them with Breezango, and Breezango and them don't interact until maybe a couple weeks before Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I think that's something that they could set up, because they are going to need something to do, and that would be a legitimate way to keep Fandango, or whatever we're going to call him, Breezango.
Febreze, but they're not going to be able to get that trademarked.
They will do it, it's a good way to keep them relevant and not just give them this weak little 1 month push where it's like, hey, here's a push. Oh, you lost. Oh, back in line. Like, no, you can keep them around.
Okay, now the show hit the brick wall. This is where the show went downhill very, very quickly.
Watching this, I was trying to convince myself to get excited about this match.
No, and I couldn't.
I just, there's so much time invested in this. Like, it's so weird.
They gave them 30 minutes of promo and the match. 30 minutes.
I wanted to comment on that as well. I think they, like, came into this episode and were like, oh boy, like, we need legs on everything. Like, the opening promo scene and the Styles Mahal match went to 8:32. Well, you know, on the East Coast. Went to 8:32. Took the first 32 minutes
first
of the
32 minutes, yeah.
Commercials included. And then this took, like, a whole another half an hour in the middle. And then there was, like, no show left. It was just, like, where was the rest of the show?
Yeah, we couldn't get Ty Dillinger on the show, American Alpha on the show. Rusev didn't make his anticipated return that he was supposed to make.
Nakamura, we did a 3 minute promo on Ziggler,
yeah,
and he's probably going to close the show with Nakamura.
You need to stop that, because that's not happening.
I'm really disappointed, because I don't think it's going to happen now that I don't want to watch Jinder Mahal in the main. Jinder Mahal.
You are so fired up about Jinder Mahal in the main event of Backlash, you can't even say his name right.
I'm nervous that he's going to win, and I'm not ready. I don't want to say anything rash. If he wins, I'm gonna, like, you know, do this or that, but I'm not looking forward to that.
Next Tuesday's episode is gonna be so much fun if Jinder Mahal wins the title. That's all I'm gonna say.
It's gonna be awful. There's gonna be three. They're gonna be like, wow, WWE SmackDown Live posts new record low. Four people tuned in.
Hey, and two of them are gonna be you and me.
I will not tune in. One of them will be you.
Okay, so we get the Dolph Ziggler promo, like you mentioned. We find out after a little bit later.
The entire women's, like, match, you care not.
I'm not even talking about this.
It ended with a roll-up, so everyone can imagine how Chris feels. So after an entire match of Naomi pretty much beating up Carmella, way too much interference from Ellsworth. I can't even think of a female name for Ellsworth. We eventually get Carmella rolling up Naomi again for, like, I feel like what's, like, the third time since this rivalry started. I don't even know what Carmella's finisher is anymore. She used to have a cool submission, but I guess that's too, you know, we don't use cool submissions anymore.
Stop pinning the champion in the middle of the ring, please.
With people that aren't really going to move into the title
picture. This only makes sense if after this feud we get a triple threat with Charlotte, Naomi, and Carmella. That's the only way this makes sense.
Probably gonna. I don't think that's going to happen at all. But that, like, exactly. If you're gonna follow, like, wrestling logic,
Charlotte deserves her rematch for getting screwed by the welcoming committee, and I can't believe I just said their name out loud. And Carmella should get an opportunity because she's pinned the champion, like, every week for the last month.
Exactly. Carmella's the hottest wrestler in the world.
So do a triple threat at Money in the Bank. That's the only way I'm okay with this. And I'm really not okay with it because I hate when the champion gets pinned. I hate when people get pinned via roll up. So this is, like, the worst finish ever, in my opinion.
So now we get Dolph Ziggler cutting a 3 minute promo for a huge match, and that's about all we're gonna get.
I did really enjoy him show this video of all the things that Nakamura's done on SmackDown, and there was a footage not found. I thought that was really great.
Yeah, that was good. That was great. It was creative. And then we get Sami Zayn on the show for less than 60 seconds,
and we find out that he's just gonna have a match against Baron Corbin at Backlash. Okay.
So yeah, and also Luke Harper, Eric Rowan also just doesn't even make the announcement of the show. Like, this is my issue, is that you spend so much time on these matches and this freaking Jinder Mahal storyline. It got the first 32 minutes of the show, Jinder Mahal. First 32 minutes. And then he gets to show up at the end. We didn't get one picture of Nakamura. We didn't get anything with Luke Harper, Eric Rowan to make me care about it. We didn't get Ty Dillinger. We didn't get American Alpha. We got 60 seconds of Sami Zayn. You know, his interaction with Baron Corbin. He's now been punched in the side of the head twice by Baron. Cool. That's the extent of their rivalry. Like, we get a nice little main event, Orton versus Corbin, but this one felt like to me like we just... again, it was that style of match they're doing with Orton that concerns me, where he's getting beat down, Oh my God, RKO, and the match is over. And it's like, okay. I love Orton, I love Corbin, and I think these guys had great chemistry, the match was really physical, and I really enjoyed that, but this gimmick of just Orton, like, getting beaten down, and, oh my God, RKO, and he wins, and it's just like, what? I'm not a fan of it.
All right, I have a question for you.
Right.
NXT closes with Bobby Roode cutting a promo, Tommy interrupting, and then they brawl to end the show, setting up their feud, right? Name me the last time somebody had a match and then their opponent for the pay-per-view came out and cut a promo on them post-match to close the show. This was so weird. Like, Jinder cut a promo on Randy after his match, like, to close the show, after we just had Jinder Mahal for like a half an hour to open the show.
Yeah, I would have been okay if he just would have stood on the ramp even.
Yeah, like, and then the Singh brothers interfered, like, he doesn't say anything, but once he cuts a promo, it's just weird.
Like, he was cutting a promo, and then he decided to go in the ring after. There was just so much promo cutting tonight that it just was like, and the promos have said the same thing. He didn't say anything new.
No, that was the other thing. It was the same thing that he said to open the show.
Right, and it was the same thing he said to open the show. It was the same thing he said a week before, and yes, the week before. So we've heard all this before. Like, he's not saying anything new to us. It's not like, he hasn't even introduced the Singh brothers. Like, meet my friends or something. Like, say something new. Like, there's nothing new here. I don't care about this match. But again, like, it's the thing you and I talked about ahead of Payback. And it's really funny that all of a sudden we have another pay-per-view, because I feel like you and I were just doing the go-home shows for Payback, like, literally the other day. But, you know, for whatever reason, I get excited ahead of these shows. Yeah, you know, like, I'm excited for Backlash.
Oh, I'm really not. There's really nothing on this card that I'm excited about. And maybe it's because, like, I'm excited for TakeOver. I started watching the best of the Super Juniors for New Japan last night, and that was really good. But, like, there's just so much other wrestling right now that's exciting me. And, like, I love some of the guys on SmackDown, but this Backlash show was not put together properly.
Right, and SmackDown is clearly the better show right now.
Yes.
And it's very exciting to me, the level of talent that they have there. But I'll agree with you, for what they're working with, it's like, how is this the show they came up with?
I know. It's very bad. All right, let's do our predictions.
All right. Let's begin with, let's go Luke Harper, Eric Rowan.
You're going to just skip the pre-show, Ty Dillinger, Aiden English? You're just skipping that?
That's just literally just get Ty Dillinger on the card.
Yeah, that's basically it. He's going to win that match.
Who?
Ty Dillinger.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, yeah, Ty Dillinger's going to get a nice little win in, and yeah, it'll be great. It'll be good to see the perfect 10. Luke Harper, Eric Rowan, does it matter who we pick?
Flip a coin.
Yeah, a Harper won on SmackDown, so I'll say Rowan.
I'll go Harper.
Okay.
I don't have a reason, I'm just picking Harper.
Yeah, Sami Zayn, Baron Corbin. Sami Zayn doesn't win.
That's basically my reasoning. It's like, they bury Sami Zayn more than a buried alive match, so I'm going to go Baron Corbin.
Sami Zayn will get over by just never winning. That's like their logic with Sami Zayn.
Yeah,
they think
they can do with Sami Zayn what they did with Daniel Bryan, and it's just not going to work.
All right, Nakamura, Ziggler.
I mean, if you take Dolph Ziggler in this match, you're foolish.
Yeah, I don't even. I'm curious. I'm actually going to, after we get off the phone, I'm going to look up what the odds are on Nakamura, because that could be the most stacked match ever.
I'm taking Nakamura.
Nakamura is winning here.
Yep.
Spoiler. What is Paul Heyman? Spoiler alert?
Yeah, and Paul Heyman. Spoiler alert.
Your favorite match?
Yes. I think the welcoming committee wins. I do. I think they're going to tease the tension between Charlotte and Naomi.
I'm just going to chant delete over your entire answer.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the... I think I'm going to go with the welcoming committee. I don't like it, but I think they're going to win. Also, why is this match on my pay-per-view?
God, yeah, that may not be the worst thing I've ever heard either. I don't know. I'm going to go with the good girls, the Naomi and Charlotte and Becky. I agree with you. I think the welcoming committee could win, but then that would just mean we're going to get more of this, and I just don't want more of this, so I'm going to be optimistic and go with the baby face.
Okay. Kevin Owens, AJ Styles. This is a tough one.
This is going to rule, and it's going to end in a disqualification.
Oh, my. Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, that would be so bad.
I don't know who's going to do right. Probably AJ by DQ because Kevin Owens will get disqualified. This is way too good of a match to be as softly booked as it's been. And I think it's something we can do moving forward. It'll be a way to keep AJ out of the Money in the Bank match, at Money in the Bank, because if AJ's in that, he'll win it. So this is a good way if this rivalry keeps going. It'll take us right into Owens Jericho, hopefully again in July as well.
I'm going to go with Kevin Owens. I think he's actually going to win this match. So the Usos against Breezango for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Champions.
I'm really going to be like on my feet, like cheering for Breezango.
Me too.
I'm going with the Usos. I think they are hot right now, even if they've been booked really weird. I see the Usos via some tricks.
So I am going to say that my heart wants Breezango to win, but my fantasy booking brain says it's better for the Usos to win, so I'm going to take the Usos.
Always keep the fantasy booking in mind.
Randy Orton, Jinder Mahal for the WWE Championship.
You go first. I'm going to send the people off on a good note.
Okay, I'm Jinder Mahal's winning the WWE Championship.
All right, good. Get that crap out of the way. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to take Randy Orton and let the people go home happy. And you're right. Jinder, for whatever reason, is probably going to dominate this whole match, and it's going to be awful. And this match is going to be good. You think this goes over 10 minutes?
If it goes over 10 minutes, it's going to be the worst thing on the card. And that's saying something. Bad. There's a six-woman tag match on this card.
It's going to be bad. Owen Styles is going to need to go like 25-plus. Nakamura Ziggler is going to need to go 20. We're probably going to get like more crap in the middle of this. Like people are probably going to cut. We're probably going to get like Daniel Bryan baby interview. Like we're going to get anything we can to fill time on this pay-per-view. It's going to be bad.
Yeah, so you're taking Orton.
Yeah, I'm taking Orton. Thank God. I've never been so happy to root for Randy Orton in my life.
Is it because you think he's going to win, or just because you don't want Jinder to win?
Oh, Randy's going to win, and Rusev's going to come and lay waste to him at the end of the show. There's no question. Like, we're getting a Rusev appearance. Like, they were definitely like, oh, we booked Rusev for SmackDown. And they were like, why would we do that? We can just show up at Backlash. Like, this is unquestionably going to be Orton retains, and like Jinder like gets out of the ring, and then Rusev comes and just lays waste to Orton. It'll set up Money in the Bank perfectly, and I'm going to love it.
But Rusev's going to be cheered if that happens.
No, he's going to lay waste to Orton. He's not going to get cheered.
Yes, he is.
Boom.
Yes, he is. In Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, it's true. Well,
in Chicago, Illinois, Randy Orton is going to be cheered, and Rusev's going to be booed. I don't think so.
Bigger pop, AJ or Nakamura?
Nakamura. In Chicago, Nakamura.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. We got a lot of baby face that pops that are going to be coming with Dillinger and Styles, even Owens, Nakamura, Sami Zayn. Charlotte's going to get a huge pop, I'm sure. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Best of the Super Juniors going on right now. I'm trying to catch up with that. We got the UK special tomorrow, NXT TakeOver.
I'm the biggest proponent, not surprising. So how are we going to... Are we going to add this to the Tuesday show now?
I guess. I don't have a plan yet for that.
Yeah.
The Tuesday show could be 4 hours long. I'm not really sure. I don't know what the Tuesday show is going to look like yet. Let's see. Remember, I'm moving this weekend. So let's
put this in context for the people. So you get to know us better than Voice is talking wrestling at you.
Yeah.
So Chris is moving this weekend, and yes, he's going to have to, in the span of one weekend, he's going to have to watch the UK special.
Yes.
He's going to have to watch NXT TakeOver.
Yes.
He's going to have to watch Backlash.
Yes.
He's going to have to watch Raw.
Yes.
He's going to have to go to work all those days.
I do have to go to work all those days. And underrated portion of this that we kind of glossed over, I have to move.
Yeah, you also have to move your home.
Yes.
Which, in the United States of America, not easy. Not easy to do that.
No, we have a big U-Haul that we've rented. We're going to throw all of our stuff in that and take it over. But that is not easy, and that process starts tomorrow.
For those that are not aware, Chris is also not built like Neville or Jinder Mahal, shall we say.
No, so I I don't have the biggest physique in the world. My work rate isn't very good. I don't think I can work more than like a 2-minute match. I'm the jobber that gets squashed in a match, right? I'm the James Ellsworth, and Braun Strowman throws me around the ring.
Compared yourself to Ellsworth on the air. I don't know if that. Jamie Eisner what you just did.
Yeah, I actually think that's doing me a disservice. I think I'm actually better than James Ellsworth.
Yeah, Yeah, you are.
So on top of all of that, I'm trying to watch the best of the Super Juniors, like, as it happens.
See, unfortunately, that stuff gets put on the back burner for me. It's kind of a when I have a minute thing, and that it just turns into, like, I'm watching it at 3 o'clock in the morning laying in bed, which is, like, the worst way to watch wrestling, because nobody wants to do that. If you watch wrestling, you want to be, like, sitting upright in your chair, like, on a nice big flat screen.
Yep.
You don't want to watch it at 3 o'clock in the morning on your computer. That's, like, not fun while you're sleeping. Like, no.
Last night, because I'm on night one, yeah, last night was night two, or today was night two, technically, because it happened this morning here, was Ospreay Ricochet.
Yeah, anything Will Ospreay does is pretty much awesome.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's kind of like must-see television.
Yeah, so
for us reviewing Japanese shows.
Yeah, I will take that burden on. That's going to be part of my long week. And also, I have to make sure the internet is set up at the new place this weekend, because if not, I'm screwed. Like, I don't know how I'm watching any of this stuff.
Yeah, that would be number one.
Yeah, so I have to work on that as well. So, all right, guys, we are out of here. Everybody enjoy. I'll be honest with you. Normally, we talk about SummerSlam weekend having a ton of wrestling and, like, WrestleMania weekend having a ton of wrestling. This is a random weekend in the middle of May, and there's a ton of wrestling going on. So go out, enjoy it.
All good.
It may not all be good, but there is a lot of wrestling to enjoy. So everybody enjoy yourselves this weekend, and we'll be back on Tuesday to review it all.